And it gives the chance for you to mark the end of a precious human life. You're here to pay respect and to honour the life of Graham Ernest Reynolds. So on behalf of Graham's family, thank you all so much for being here and for your support at this time. So as well as you being here as a mark of respect, this ceremony gives you the opportunity to say a final farewell to Graham in the company of others, which is also important. So Graham's wife Janet and family have been heartwarmed by the many dozens of cards and messages that they've received, saying what a significant impact that Graham had on so many people's lives. My name is Frankie Henley, and it really is an honour for me to be here standing up here in front of you on behalf and speaking on behalf of Graham's family. I didn't know Graham. Thank you to Janet and eldest daughter Anita for sitting with me in Graham's precious garden a couple of weeks ago and sharing so many stories about him. We laughed a lot, and the sun was shining, and I think Graham would probably have liked to have been there. It was a very joyful afternoon, yet you know, we were talking about something so serious. So one of the first things that I was told then was that Graham had written down in red capital letters that he didn't want any religious content included in his funeral. So red capital letters, don't get me started. However, later on there's going to be a period of silence for you for your self-reflection, and if you want to say your own personal prayer, whatever's appropriate for you. So the focus of the funeral is going to be on celebrating Graham's life and his many qualities. Now, you might think that it sounds strange to say this, but Graham's family have arranged a wonderful funeral. Entering the chapel, you first heard Unforgettable by Nat King Cole. Graham played this to Janet on their very first date. Now, having already chosen the piece of music to play here, the family found a piece of paper with the lyrics written on with Graham's handwriting when they were going through his paperwork. They want you to know that today Graham is wearing a t-shirt and shorts. He also has a much-loved little black soft toy dog, which he's had since birth or very soon after that, and it's now only got one ear. There's also a well-worn and frayed sweatshirt tucked in beside him, which was a treasured gift from Tracy's daughter Tracy 30 years ago. And it's appropriate, it's well-worn and frayed, because apparently Graham didn't like new clothes. So just so that you know, it has been requested that the curtains remain open throughout the ceremony. So just briefly to set the scene, Graham was born in Ramsgate on the 12th of February 1936. He was the first child to Mother Joyce and Father Cecil. He was born prematurely at 5 months, when his mother was 5 months pregnant, which is amazing when you consider his latter physique and strength. He had two younger sisters, Pam and Penny. On Thursday, the 19th of July this year, Graham died peacefully at home with members of his family beside him. I was told there's also a dog there, his sister's dog. He was 82. So the story of his life in between those two significant events will be eloquently told by Graham's three children, Tracy, Danny and Anita. Each of their tributes are really, really different, but they all evoke what a remarkable life Graham had, or more importantly, what a remarkable man that he was. So before they speak, I'm just going to explain to you that Graham loved his garden, and he planted different coloured roses in the garden in honour of each of his children. So today, after they've spoken, they're each going to place their coloured rose with Graham. So daughter Tracy is going to come up first. Throughout the immediate family, Graham was a husband, a father, a grandfather, or Pop, as he insisted on being called, as he thought it sounded much younger. Anita and Danny will speak about him as a family man. I'm going to give you an insight about Dan from those who knew him in other ways. Thanks to the wonder of social media and technology and more traditional ways, such as sympathy cards and actually talking to people, we've been inundated with tributes and fond memories from so many who kindly responded to the news shared about Dad's passing. Dad's time at Ottershaw, firstly as a pupil and then as a member of staff, was obviously memorable to him, and it shaped him into the wonderful person he became.
It seems his time there was also memorable to so many others in many different ways. Quotes such as, "You were always included and he made sure you enjoyed it and benefited from his guidance." To me, he was one of the greatest teachers at Offshore in the 1960s, and one who was universally admired and respected. He was an amazing encourager to me and built my confidence as a boy who could succeed. I know without doubt that your dad shaped my early life in a major way. He stood in that great tradition of schoolmasters who influenced a generation of young men to be the best they could be. Words and phrases used countless times include boundless energy, confidence booster, encouragement, good counsel, universally admired and respected, infectious enthusiasm, personal kindness, cheerful, and the list goes on. His advice and encouragement led many of the pupils into teaching themselves. His ways of teaching also inspired others to enter the profession. One friend said, "He had a technique in teaching skills that I as a teacher emulated in later years. This, along with Mum's teaching ability, obviously encouraged Anita into the vocation, although I'm not so sure she'd have paid for it now." As well as being respected for his teaching abilities, it is obvious that he was equally renowned for his toned physique and suntan skin. He had various nicknames over the years: Pea Brain, Dormouse, Rainbow, the Body Beautiful, Chunky, Muscles. There was obviously a reason for this. No wonder Mum married him. Pupils remember him as a fine, athletic and good-looking young man, just the sort of person you need as a sports master. He was so approachable and had such a positive attitude to fitness, as his muscular body displayed. He was young, in good shape and had wonderful dark skin. In the summer, it amused us often to find him lying out in the fresh air, working on his tan. I only wish he could have really enjoyed the wonderful summer we had this year, as his love of the sun never waned. In his time as PE master at Ottershaw, he certainly left his mark. These days, some of it may well have scarred people for life. One of the memories shared was how he insisted on the pupils running cross-country in the snow in the same gear they wore when the weather was warm. That is, vest, shorts and pencils, no socks allowed. There is a wonderful photo from 1960 of a touch rugby lesson in the snow with the pupils with bare feet, wearing only shorts, apparently culminating in Dad and another master being pelted with snowballs, after which the whole group plunged into the swimming pool, luckily indoors. So popular was this winter pastime, he also emulated this in his time at Newland Park. One student recalls Chunky gathering a group of students to run barefoot through the snow around the playing fields. This may be because the gymnasium where he was based was not the most high spec. Apparently, he ran the most dilapidated gym in memory, but with the greatest accuracy. Chunky certainly wasn't forgotten by the students at Newland Park either. However, I am of the belief that this had more to do with the social side of things than lecturing. I am sure that he did do some work there, occasionally, but the memories are of his outdoor pursuits trips, sports coaching, ski trips and peak fit classes. Tributes came in as follows. We speak highly of him, even 40 years on. He had a great impact on us as sports people and teachers, never forgotten. He managed that mix of being your tutor and your friend, a tough combination to achieve. I remember him so well and fondly. He was just such a great, caring and genuine man who went out of his way to look after others and especially ensured we had an amazing time away on the outdoor pursuits trips, which were incredible because of him. Newland Park and much loved by everyone. Always positive, fun and considerate, the legend word was paramount throughout these tributes and memories. Dad had many friends. Though in the sports he did over so many years, he was bound to meet many people. However, he did have a handful of very close friends, whose friendship anyone would have been envious of. I've been lucky enough to share so many conversations with some of these friends over the years, and these are the people he admired, respected, loved, and relied upon in so many ways. Thank you for being with him all the way for so very long. He and you were blessed. My daughter Emily loved her Bob, as did all his grandchildren. She wrote a card to Bob after he passed away, which she has with him now, and wrote in it, "I hope I have made you proud." I really hope he knew how proud we all were of him and how people felt about him. There is one tribute which I think Dan would like me to finish on, and which will ring true with all of you, I'm sure. It came from a student at Newland Park, but if we just replace the name Chunky with how we all address Dad, or Graham, I think we could all agree with it. Sometimes we just meet people who we want to meet, and then a Chunky comes along. And then you think, flipping heck, never seen one of those.
We have a piece of music now, and it's Imagine by John Lennon. Once again, having chosen the piece of music, the family found a copy of 45 single in amongst Graham's paperwork in his bureau. So, now it's my turn to say a few words. A short little ode to Dad in rhyme. To highlight some of his key traits before we toast him with beer and wine. We have shared so many memories,
since Dad passed away.
A man who impacted on so many and whose life we celebrate today.
He was a top pop, a good bloke, a gentleman, a bit of a legend, it would seem. Having received many tributes from days gone by, of which most of us could only dream. We've respected his wishes for an informal do, in a t-shirt and shorts he was dressed, with his favourite well-worn sweatshirt laid by him, and with our casual attire, he would be impressed. The sportsman who excelled in gymnastics, his body a bronzed, muscular creation. At my 18th, he did a headstand with fishnet stockings and pants. It left nothing to the imagination. His passion for outdoor pursuits was infectious, with visits in the UK and abroad. But he was not always as tough as me, you made out, in those areas that he explored. For someone who climbed peaks and along narrow ridges, you would think he had led with gusto. But he often had to put on a brave face, as he initially suffered from vertigo. On one ski trip, he was stuck up a mountain. "Gozen wisi fight," the instructor told Mum, who had been waiting patiently at the bottom of the piece and finally saw him slide down on his bum. As a true sun worshipper, he would always cross the street to avoid having to walk in the shade. We ridiculed him at the time, of course, but now find it's us with this trait. Numerous camping holidays were taken abroad, usually to places which were beautifully warm. Muscles bulging, deep tan, beer and wine in hand, and skin-tight speedos were the norm. Always a fan of travelling light, to us all he would frequently rant. For a three-week holiday, he could not comprehend why we packed more than two pairs of pants. When sunbathing, he would collect his sweat in his belly button, and then with precise motion, he'd slurp it all out and rub it all over him, telling us he tanned better with sweat than with lotion. He was never able to find his car keys, having left them in many a random place. And each car has been a sanctuary for him, a right mess with no seating space. He tried his best to keep up with technology and made sure he had the latest mod cons. eBay and emailing, he could just about do. Anything else, he could not even turn on. His aches and pains really got to him. Having been so fit, of this he took a dim view. He shared his ailments with everybody, including him not being able to poo. He doted on Mum, no wonder, which is great, for over 55 years. She cared for him superbly up till the end, literally through blood, sweat and tears. No more will we see that. Sorry. I'm going to come back to that. Also on holiday, we loved a game of cards. One of our favourites was Chase the Lady. And he never tired of his regular game of peeing by a swimming sea. He always looked after his pennies. Tight, some of us may even have thought. But negotiating the best deals was a real strength of his. A shrewd bargain he always bought. His extreme views frustrated and wound us all up. With us, he could be an opinionated sod. His grandchildren too, who all love pot dearly, often also found these views odd. At times, the views of the cantankerous old Gib made us angry and really squirm. But what was also highly amusing was when his views took a huge U-turn. But out of the home, he was a gentle old soul, a nicer gentleman you could not wish to meet, a real charmer to all the ladies. with a truly cheeky streak. He loved his golf, his gardening, his sport, though Arsenal bored him at the end. His grandchildren gave him so much pleasure, as did his banter with his friends. No more we will see that twinkle in his eye, hear about the great Frank Sinatra and John Wayne. And whilst we are saddened by his speedy passing, at least there is no more pain. And so I come to the end of my ode about Dad, whose glass tended to be half empty. This was a shame, and it's clear to us all, the great memories. Wow, there are plenty.
Hello everyone. World's greatest dad. I came across a pair of socks the other day, given to me by my wonderful daughter Lucy, with that very phrase written on them. I thought to myself, well, it's not really true, is it? And the reason why it's not true is because that person is my dad, who in the enduring words of a certain boxer was the greatest. Let me elaborate. It's sunny, it's the holiday season, Dad's favourite time of year. As kids, we were very lucky with both mum and dad in education, as they had the whole summer off with us. We got to spend time with them for the whole 6 weeks. Some would say that Dad, in fact, had 52 weeks of the year off, because he didn't really have a proper job, did he? During the school holidays, we had the run of his college, and I was a really sporty kid. I felt like a kid in a sweet shop, flitting between gymnasium or tennis courts, ping pong, and the swimming pool. Dad used to keep the trailer tent under the gymnasium there. We'd dust it off each year prior to our yearly European vacation. We'd get up at the crack of dawn, hitch it on the back of the car, and hop onto a ferry to Calais. The holidays were always meticulously planned by Dad. They were always different, culturally very diverse, and educational. Those 2 to 3 weeks were packed with fun and places of interest. We learned so much and all became well-rounded Europeans. Those holidays always united us as a family, despite the frequent squabbles over who won Monopoly or Petanque, and whose turn it was to sit in the middle seat at the back of the car. I'd go back to school each September, and inevitably conversations would turn to where you'd been on holiday. Generally, my friends would have spent a wet week in the Canberra Sands or a soggy sojourn in Scotland. I couldn't help but feel smug when I explained that we'd been climbing mountains in Switzerland, picking cockles in Brittany, drinking wine in Germany, going down water flumes and death-defying summer's problems. And we finished by sunning ourselves on the Côte d'Azur. Dad put an enormous amount of effort every year to ensure we had the best holidays, and boy, did he deliver. I have such special lifelong memories of those treasure times. Sport. With parents like Mum and Dad, us kids were always going to inherit this fortune. Looking back on my formative years, I'm really grateful to both Mum and Dad for ferrying me around to various locations each week, all year round. It's not a cheap pastime, but Dad always ensured I had all the gear. I never had to put my hand in my pocket, never had to ask for anything, he always provided. I wondered where all the gear came from, but never asked, as I'm sure half of it was off the back of a lorry. As we know, sport was Dad's life. I had the chance to see him in action a few times, be it gymnastics events, hockey, squash, or cricket. The game that really sticks in my mind was the 1985 Dr. Chandler's Grammar School Teachers vs. Dad's annual cricket match. I turned up to watch with a few school friends. It was all quite sedate until Dad went to bat. He started spraying the ball around the pitch from the get-go, and then he got a juicy half-volley from the English teacher, Mr. Chapman. Dad's eyes lit up, and he hit the ball like an Exocet missile to mid-on, which had four written all over it from the moment he left the bat. Well, it would have been four were the unlucky Mr. Carpenter not positioned there. Now, in his shoes, I would have just stepped aside and let the ball go to the boundary. But fair play to Mr. Carpenter, he tried to catch it. It was a good effort, but he spilled it. Then he crumpled to the ground. He was taken to hospital with a broken finger. I saw it, it was disgusting. The finger literally exploded. So, continued in that same vein, an increasingly worried-looking set of fielders, Dad once again faced Mr. Chapman, this time a straight one. Dad took one step down the pitch and unleashed a shot back over his head. To this day, I have never seen a ball hit so hard or so high. At that end of the ground, there was a big oak tree. Dad's shot went so high that it hit the very top branch, and we all watched as the ball descended, seemingly in slow motion, and smashed the back windscreen of Mr. Harris's prized red hashtag. Me and my mates were in hysterics, obviously. Mr. Harris was not so amused. Anyway, Dad had to retire as they couldn't get him out, and he needed to let others have a bat. He then proceeded to claim four wickets when it was Dad's turn to bowl. It was a brutal exhibition of power play that earned him man of the match. On the Monday, I walked into school, and news of Dad's antics had spread like wildfire. Everyone was coming up to me, patting me on the back, and wanting to hear the story of the carnage that Dad had left behind. 6 years I spent at that school, never got near to adulation like that for any of my sporting achievements. Dad rocks up for one afternoon and seals his legacy. I felt enormous pride. Oddly, Dad never again got an invitation to play in the Teachers versus Dad's cricket match, which was a constant source of amusement too. Dad had an aura. He was the fittest, the strongest, he even had muscles on his eyeballs. The loudest, the most outspoken, definitely the most opinionated. He would quite literally talk to anyone. He drank pints of beer whilst doing a headstand. He was a lifeguard. He also saved lives. There was no end to this guy's talents. I don't think so, not in my eyes. As you've already heard from Tracy's quotes, this man was revered by everyone he met. The vulnerability he showed in his last few days was something I had not seen before him, but it just endeared him more to him, made him even more powerful somehow. That's why he was indisputably the world's greatest dad. All these attributes made me feel intensely proud of him. As his son, he was immortal to me, a giant of a man, a demigod. But he also instilled morals in us, to live life to the full, but in an ethical manner. If I could be half the man he was and instill some of those values in Lucy, I'd have done a decent job. Dad is, always has been, and always will be, my hero, mentor, moral compass, and guiding light. I will miss him greatly. Thank you.
So different, and people were sort of touching words, but also such humour. Okay, so I've now got a couple of stories to share with you. They're events that we gathered, Janet and Anita, while we sat in the garden on that lovely sunny day together. If I've got time, I'll also read something that Stephen Turner wrote in the Ottershaw Gazette. So you've heard about Graham's sporting antics, but they actually wouldn't be complete without mentioning that Graham met Janet in hockey. She said, "I met Graham on the side of a pitch. His sister Penny was playing in a hockey game at the college where she was studying. I was a lecturer in PE there. Graham had gone to pick her up. He asked me if I could show her around the gym. Janet laughed, saying, I later discovered he was already familiar with the gym. This was clearly his chat-up line, and it worked." She added, "Graham was charming, good-looking, and good fun. The couple courted for just 6 months only, and they married on the 30th of March 1963. Graham always doted on her." In 1994, Oliver was born, making Graham and Janet grandparents for the first time. Graham became pop to seven grandchildren: Ollie, Will, or Billy as Graham called him, Jade, Lucy, Matthew, Yazzie, and Emily. Anita said, Dad was always really interested in them all and gave them the same encouragement as he did his own children and his pupils. But he used to be dismayed that few of them showed any flair for gymnastics. In fact, Anita's three children are all very sporty, but two of them can't even do a forward roll in spite of his coaching efforts. Granddaughter Yaz said, "If I was to think of Pop at his happiest, he would be sunbathing in his garden, surrounded by a swan." Ollie, Will and Nat, as his three grandsons, recall him frequently asking them to show their tense muscles, upon which he'd then comment. So as you know, Graham was very sporty, athletic, physically fit and strong. He had a passion for cricket, hockey and golf. He'd been a member of Gerald's Cross Golf Club, where he played for about 20 years when he lived in Buckinghamshire. I think there's maybe one or two of you here today. He was also a long-standing member of Sean Valley Golf Club in Hythe until very recently, when he had to stop due to his declining health. Graham persevered with his golf, going around the course in his buggy long after many would have given up. The club are currently flying their flag at half-mast as a sign of respect to him as a much valued member over so many years. According to Janet, he got great satisfaction from knowing that he once achieved a hole-in-one. But this was also a matter of frustration for him, as it was never officially recorded as such, having been on his own at the time, yet not been witnessed by anyone. Okay, one more. According to the Ottershaw Gazette, Graham thoroughly enjoyed his duties while working at the school, especially teaching PE. He always tried to show the boys what to do rather than tell them what to do. Graham was quoted as saying, "My motto was, if you like, inspiration before perspiration. I didn't expect a boy to do anything in PE that I couldn't do myself. I always took part in the cross country. I wasn't standing at the side with a stopwatch. I went around with the boys, jogging along with the stragglers, searching in the bushes now and then for anyone who stopped off for a sneaky cigarette." We're just going to have a moment of silence now, just to gather our thoughts after all those stories. So now, will you please stand if you're able? The room is filled with love and affection and reflections and tales of Graham's life. We heard a lot about the inspirational impact that he had on so many. Graham was a very talented man, friendly, charming, encouraging, a legend. You've been blessed by having shared your life with Graham. We've now come to what is perhaps the most difficult part of the funeral, when you must say a final farewell to him. It is now time to release Graham's body back to the elements. We commit the body of Graham Ernest Reynolds to his final resting place. In the sincerity of this moment, be grateful for having known Graham, rejoice in his life and his great contribution to the world. Surrounded by your love, Graham will be sent on his next journey. May he rest in peace. Thank you. Please be seated. We're now beginning to draw things to a close. There are two practical points. After you leave here, the family would love you to join them for a buffet lunch back at Sing Golf Club. You'll find the address on the back of the service sheet. Also, if anyone wishes to make a donation in Graham's memory, family have chosen Pilgrim's Hospices as the chosen charity. Graham was looked after by the community hospice team at home in his last few days. Janet said the staff were simply wonderful. Brilliant, actually, is the word she used. There are details of the giving page on the back of the service sheet. Alternatively, you will find, as you leave here, some envelopes and pens that you can put your names on if you want to, and just pop those into a golfing bag. So thank you for being here today. It's an important gesture to make this time to mark this occasion. Your presence here has really actually made a difference. Not only has Graham touched your lives, but you touched his life too. And each of your relationships with him are unique. When you leave here, remember and be grateful for having spent time in Graham's company. May you be comforted by memories of him and the times that you shared with him. Call to mind his abundant capacity to inspire and encourage others. His physical strength, energy and determination. His ability to organise anything except perhaps the inside of his car. His friendliness, his sense of fun. Graham was quite frankly a true sport. May his zest for life encourage you and inspire you throughout your own lives. So don't be surprised or feel ashamed of tears if they come. Or if there are days when you are hit by sadness. And don't feel guilty if you think you should be feeling sadness, but instead you suddenly find yourself laughing or feeling joy. Or that you have an overwhelming urge to get up on a table and do a headstand and flail your legs all around in every direction. Let's face it, Graham would not only have wanted you to do this, he would have been impressed. He might even have been chuffed that you were worthy to hand the baton on to. Perhaps he'd also be grinning in the knowledge you had never sat there as long, nor put on quite the show that he would have.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter. Sunshine, bring me love, sweet love, bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where there should be more happiness, so much joy you can get to each brand new bright tomorrow. Bring me sunshine, bring me love.